Kellogg, Elmshaven, St. Helena, California, April 15, 1903. Dr. Kellogg, my dear brother, I wish to write you some things that are greatly burdening my mind. I could not speak of your dangers in open conference, and I cannot now say all that I have to say. 3 times during the conference, after passing sleepless nights, I decided to present some things, not all, to the conference and to you in as careful a manner as possible. But when it came to the time to speak, I could not say what I had thought I must say, because I feared that some souls would not understand, and therefore might stumble over what I would have said. Some would have talked with one another unwisely in regard to things that they could not understand and that I had not spoken of. I must now write to you, for I dare not keep silent any longer. You should do earnest work to make matters plain and straight, and to place the sanitarium in the clear, safe position where it belongs. I hope and pray that you will do thorough, faithful work in this matter. What can I say that will in any way affect you? In some respects, you have been pursuing a strange course during the last 2 years. This cannot continue. You must not longer remain in the attitude in which you have been standing. The Lord will not again send you such a message as He sent you before the General Conference of 1901. What a strange position I was placed in at that meeting. I was bidden to bear a public testimony that would show the churches where they had made their mistake and lead them to appreciate your value and the good you had done. You had received messages showing where you had erred. If at that meeting you had fallen on the rock and been broken, you would since that time have had a much deeper spiritual experience. But since that conference, things have continually been occurring that show that your mind is far from being free from evil. Had you obtained that deep religious experience that every medical missionary should have, you would have followed a course different from the course that you have followed. Yesterday I read the following incident. A notable painter was adorning the frescoes in the dome of a cathedral. When a certain portion of his work was done, he stepped backward, foot by foot, upon the small scaffold of planks on which he stood to admire the effect of his skillful craft. Suddenly a comrade who was with him rushed forward to the picture and with the brush in his hand smeared and spoiled the delicate work so painfully accomplished. Rushing forward, the artist cried angrily, "What is that for?" "Look," said his companion. "One more step backward, and you would have fallen, bruised and mangled, on the pavement far below." This artist was proud of his work far more justly than you can be proud of your work since the last General Conference in Battle Creek. Upon reflection, tracing your work since that conference, can you look up to heaven and say, "It is well with my soul"? In many of your ways, God takes no pleasure. He has been displeased with those developments in your character which have led you in word and act to misrepresent His character. These developments in your character have made you subject to the temptations of Satan. Your food business, which has been your great pride, has also been your snare. God takes no delight in many of your plans and movements regarding the food business. It has not been well for your own sake, nor for Christ's sake, that the line of work with which you are connected should bear so much of your individual impress. Were you worked wholly by the Spirit of God, there would be a showing altogether different from that which now exists. If you continue to weave yourself into the work, you will have less and less of the companionship of Christ. I greatly desire that your soul shall be saved. You should no longer feel that your individual judgment is to be the criterion by which others are to be guided in carrying forward the medical missionary work. It has been your desire to have this work ever carried on as a great whole, but this is not the way of the Lord. There must be a reorganization. Supreme power must not be vested in a group of men connected with a few large institutions. At the General Conference of 1901, the light was given. Divide the General Conference into union conferences. Let there be fewer responsibilities centered in one place. Let the work of printing our publications be divided. The principles that apply to the publishing work apply also to the sanitarium work. Students should not be crowded into Battle Creek to receive an education in medical missionary lines. It is not best to gather together in one institution so large a company of people as have been gathered together in the Battle Creek Sanitarium. Let medical missionary plants be made in many places.
The youth who desire to become medical missionaries should not be brought in large numbers to Battle Creek. Provision should be made that they may receive an education out of and away from Battle Creek, in places where there is a different religious atmosphere. By fire, the Lord removed the great argument in favor of gathering many students to Battle Creek. He swept away the sanitarium to prevent the carrying out of the idea that Battle Creek was to be the great center for the training of medical students. To carry out this idea would be out of harmony with the work for these last days and with the plans of the Lord. God works by means of instruments, or second causes. He uses the gospel ministry, medical missionary work, and the publications containing present truth to impress hearts. All are made effectual by means of faith. As the truth is heard or read, the Holy Spirit sends it home to those who hear and read with an earnest desire to know what is right. The gospel ministry, medical missionary work, and our publications are God's agencies. One is not to supersede the other. But you have sought to make the medical missionary work the whole body instead of the arm and the hand. Let the living gospel be taught in our schools. Let students be educated in its principles, that they may be prepared to impart the truth to others. Let them learn to minister to the spiritual and physical needs of those whom they will meet in their work. By the ministry of the word, the gospel is preached. By medical missionary work, the gospel is practiced. The gospel is bound up with medical missionary work. Neither is to stand alone, bound up in itself. The workers in each are to labor unselfishly and unitedly, striving to save sinners. Your religious teachings are not to be depended on or accepted as a "Thus saith the Lord." It has been unwise for the people to rely upon you as they have done, for you are not a safe guide in spiritual matters. You have planned too much labor and responsibility for yourself in endeavoring to grasp and direct the whole medical missionary work. You must not continue to do this, for God forbids it. The work must be set in order, after the divine similitude. My brother, I beseech you to give heed to the messages that for many years have been coming to you, admonishing you to walk and work in the counsel of God. Let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. Will you not take time to stop to consider that by your ambitious course you are surely not exalting the medical missionary work? Will you dishonor this work by leaving your imperfect human mold upon it? Some feel that those who question your judgment and your plans should be severely reproved. This is not right. You have so long supposed that it is your place to carry the responsibility of many things and mold them largely according to your own judgment, that you have become lifted up. I greatly desire that you shall understand your danger. The Lord would have no man presume to exercise the power and the responsibility that you are assuming by bringing the various interests of the medical work under your personal supervision, as if you owned the work. The enemy is frequently working your mind. He has endeavored to implant in your mind the same desires that he cherished when in the heavenly courts he occupied the position of covering cherub. Christ is the express image of his Father's person, and the angels could see in the Son a perfect representation of God. Lucifer coveted the honor and glory given to Christ. He became so self-exalted that he supposed that he could do anything he desired to do because of his high position as covering cherub, and he tried to obtain for himself the position given to Christ. But Lucifer fell, he was cast out of heaven, and now he works on human minds, tempting them to follow in his footsteps. He strives to fill minds with feelings of self-exaltation and to lead them to dishonor God by turning from their allegiance to the truth and inventing many things not after God's order. Oh, why did you not, at the last general conference at Battle Creek, humble your heart and heed the admonitions of God, putting aside your way for God's way? Does not the sweeping away of the sanitarium by fire mean much to you? Such a manifest token of God's displeasure should lead you to most earnest self-examination. In this, God has given you an admonition, in order that every soul connected with the sanitarium work may take heed to this expression of His reproof. Study to find out why this punishment has come. Allow not this rebuke to pass by unheeded, lest it be followed by still sterner punishment. Discern wherein you have departed from God. Be zealous and repent.
I say to you, as a messenger from God, that the things which belong to your peace are strangely neglected. They are pushed from their proper place. Are you not leading many astray by your example? You have no right to load yourself down with so many burdens. You have no right to become absorbed in so many schemes, some of which should never see the light of day. A man for whom the Lord has done so much should honor him in every word and act. All his transactions should be pure, considerate, and just. He should not do or say anything that he will be loath to meet when he stands before the judge of all the earth. You have wrapped yourself about with many business entanglements and objectionable plans. You have formed plan after plan, reaching further and still further. The ends of the earth seem not too remote for you to reach. But, my brother, there is a work for you to do between God and your own soul. Men have looked to you for religious guidance and for a correct example. Does your development of character make you a safe guide? God expects you to be strict and particular in all business matters, not following the maxims of the world, not swayed by cupidity. But if you follow the policy that you are tempted to follow, you will be led to dismiss the word of God from your counsels. Unless you make a decided change, the word of the judge of all the earth to you in the last great day will be weighed in the balances and found wanting. Daniel 5, verse 27. Will you continue to follow the strange course in which you have been pressing on, driving and rushing matters as you have done? You need to move more steadily. Your lips and your tongue need to be sanctified that you may make correct statements only. You need to ponder your ways and to remember that God's servants are to use in His service only the sacred fire of His own kindling. Those who have linked up their interests with you have not always been faithful to tell you the truth. There are those who have done you an injury by receiving your exaggerated statements and by failing to speak words of caution. You may be tempted, because of what I say to you, to present me in a most unfavorable light to those whom you are leading. Yet I dare not let you go further in your strange course without speaking to you in warning. Will you not make a determined effort to break the spell that is upon you? You have been binding yourself up with the great deceiver. Can it be possible that you do not understand this? Can it be possible that you do not discern your danger? Will your associates continue to be silent in regard to your strange devisings, allowing many things to pass unquestioned? What has been done to you that you should think to revenge yourself to doing that which will ruin your soul? What excuse can you give to God for working out Satan's plans? Will it pay to follow the course that you are planning to pursue? Will it gain for you the welcome, "Well done, good and faithful servant"? Matthew 25, verse 23. Throughout every department of His work, God will vindicate His honor, His righteousness. Will you not stop right where you are and consider diligently your ways? The Lord cannot endorse your spirit or your course of action. His hand is on the lever.
Your plans are not His plans. Do not make others err by leading them to harmonize with your ideas and carry out your plans for the supremacy. Now is your time to repent. Lose not the opportunity. Cherish principles of the purest integrity. Then your spirit will change. You will be upright in your dealings with your fellow men because you are upright in your dealings with God. My brother, do not feel that it is below your dignity to make a decided change. You must place yourself at the feet of Christ as a learner, else you will surely fail of obtaining the overcomer's reward. Lay off your commanding, kingly authority and become one of God's little children. Until you are willing to study and obey God's will, you will be overcome by temptations and led to do strange things, which will disqualify you for filling a position of influence. Will you not repent and be converted? Will you not act every moment with the realization that you are under the divine scrutiny? Will you not make God your companion in all your work? His holiness, His justice, His truth should purify your words and actions.
You need to stop and consider that there is a God. He has spoken good in your behalf, and He will be much displeased if you deal unjustly with His heritage. He calls upon you to turn to Him with full purpose of heart. Pray, for your soul's sake, pray. For you have been so many times self-deceived and led by deceptive influences, that you are tempted to regard with favor those who will flatter and extol you, and with disfavor those who would point out your errors and dangers. Many times you have almost gone over to the wrong side, but before the throne has stood your Savior, the Prince of the Nails in His hands, interceding in your behalf. Pray for yourself in the name of Christ. Pray earnestly, fervently, sincerely. I hope that your life may be spared and that you may give yourself wholly to repentance. Come to the Lord and surrender all to Him. You must, or you will be taken captive by the enemy. I cannot but write these words, for one of the highest authority has made this appeal to you.